Very pleased to be joined by the head coach of the Winnipeg Jets, Claude Noel. Coach, great to have you on the show. How's it going?
Great, fellas, or stallions. Very good. Nice to be back talking with you guys, as always.
It's always an exciting day for all member clubs of the National Hockey League. Your team had the 13th pick in the draft and selected Josh Morrissey. Tell us a little bit about the player and what made him so attractive to Winnipeg.
Well, you know, I don't know him as well as, obviously, you know, our scouts know him, but there's some real good... comparable is the way he plays, a lot of character. I mean, I got a couple of texts from people that, the guys I used to play with, their sons have played with them in Calgary, so they know the family, a lot. To me, the comparables are like Duncan Keith type player, maybe not with that type of speed, but high hockey IQ, Toby Enstrom type player with some, a little bit more bite to his game. Very good player to me. To me, there's a lot of really good things that I see in him that I like from a character, from what I'm getting, from what I'm reading. Dan Hamhuis type of player. Those are all three good comparables for me. Like, who is he? How is he in there? To me, more than anything that I keep hearing is the character part of things. And I think that that's exciting because the way he competes in key games and the way he attacks games, he has an understanding of how to win, and I think that's really important.
At compete level, immediately after the pick, I contacted a few of my my friends in the Western League, coaches and scouts. They all said the same thing. He fights for the puck, does whatever he can to help win games, and has a very adaptable game, can do a lot of different things. Did you get to see him during the lockout? Did you ever see him when he was in Brandon, or so you've never seen him live?
No, I've never seen him play, but it's interesting, you know, when you talk about he understands the way to compete and the effectiveness of being able to target players on the opposing teams that are guys that need to be targeted for the sake of the team. So I think that those are some real key attributes for me. So all the things I hear are real good. You know, I mean, how far away and all those things, I don't know those things, but they play themselves out.
Now, you know, last year we were in a situation, the Jets were at the draft table, where when Trouba's name came up, or when it looked like he might be there for you, there was a little bit of vibration going around on your table. And once again, you take a guy that really no one expected him to go in that spot, Kevin Cheveldayoff. Obviously, he has his own list and his own plan and his own way to go. Are you pleased to get the player?
I'm very pleased to get the player, and I'll tell you why. There's some things that you have to put in perspective. You know, I don't know the reaction of people because I don't follow that stuff, but I'm really happy for a lot of reasons. One of the things is when you're building a team and building a franchise, people of his play type, along with Trouba, they elevate your game to the forwards. And from a coaching standpoint, for me, it's the guy that's able to get the pucks, win the battle, get it to the forwards quickly, and get out of our zone. And we know how we deal with defensive zone, you know, for example, goal differential. The less time we can spend in there, the better off we're going to be. So I think, like, when you look at that position and what he brings and his hockey IQ, which is very high, those are the things for me that excite me, because I think, for example, you don't know how it's going to shake out, but for example, you look at him and Trouba as a pairing, and those type of players, that's pretty hard not to get excited in that fashion.
Now, obviously, skating is critical for every player, and this player, by all accounts, skates very nicely. For you as a coach, what is the number one intangible after that? You know, all things being equal, they all skate the same. What's the number one intangible? Is it hockey intellect?
Well, yeah, that's a good question, Gary, because it goes, you know, you try to put percentages on things. Hockey intellect is right up there, but you got hockey intellect, you've got compete level in there. There's some intangibles in there that are hard to grade, you know, because you can look at size, you can look at speed, you can look at different factors and look at five top things. You know, where does character fit in there? Is that number 6-7 or whatever? But character you've got, to me, it's hockey IQ is... When you're starting to talk about Toby Enstrom type of player with bite and a little bit more size and stuff, hockey IQ is right up there, because I've had teams with with intelligence, and I've had teams without intelligence, and it's not the same animal when you're coaching. And I know what it's like to coach a smart team. It's a pleasure. And you play chess, and when you can coach those guys, and things happen quickly, and they respond quickly. So to me, it's all good.
Jets coach Claude Noel joining us live on the draft floor in Newark, New Jersey at the Prudential Center at the 2013 NHL Draft. Coach, second round is big for the Winnipeg Jets. Three selections with the team, the compensatory pick and the pick from Chicago that was acquired in the Johnny Oduya trade. What do you hope the team can acquire over those course of three picks? Is there a spot that you're looking at particularly to fill right now as far as the funnel of prospects, or is it just a matter of trying to get the best talent possible for the hockey club and develop it over the next few years?
You know, when it comes to a second round, like that's an area where you have to look at, would this player be able to fill any needs in an immediate situation? In our situation, we've got holes, we've got areas where we'd be able to fill. So my standpoint, I don't know that you're able to look at that from that standpoint. And I'm an immediate guy. What helps us today is really what you're looking for, you know. But I don't think that you can look at the draft that way and you can look and say, you know, we're going to the draft to fill these holes. That's really not realistic. If you're able to get it out of your first, okay. But I don't know that we're picking high enough to, I don't know the draft well enough to know that we're able to fill those needs. So I think the fact that we've got three second round picks, if you're picking fairly intelligently, which I trust that our group is, that really sets you up from a standpoint of depth. And to me, that excites me because we've got a good development situation with the coaching staff down there and everybody managing that situation. Those are the things that we need to stay and get competitive and then start the cycle. It's the cycle we're looking to get started, and we're not quite there yet, but it's coming.
We've talked about this a lot, the internal competition.
Yes.
And you need that.
Yes.
Like when you're in your office and you're looking at your roster and a couple guys aren't going too good, and you look over at Keith's roster and you see, oh, yes, Scheifele's got a point in every game for the last 3 weeks. Truba is off the charts, and Adam Lowry's got 20 goals.
Yes.
Then you say, okay, Kevin, bring one of these guys up, and all of a sudden, then the bottom end of your lineup and the, you know, other components in your lineup, they're looking over their shoulder, and they're playing better as a result of that.
Yeah, and you know what? These players sometimes don't have to be recalled for the players in the big club to recognize that there's some urgency here. And I think that's the motor that drives, you know, that drives the competition within your team. And I think you have to have that.
You can just take the press clippings from the Newfoundland papers and hang them up in the room, and they'll get the message.
I don't coach that way, and I wouldn't have to do that. You know, I think players know what's happening. They can see. You know, they get to training camp and they look and they think, uh-oh, this guy's pretty close. Now, I don't think they need press clippings.
I know you're involved and you sat in on the meetings and all this, but really, this isn't your day. This is more about scouts, the gym. So take us to your seat, because I know you love hockey and you love intrigue.
Yeah.
So
that's
when Colorado takes McKinnon, so you're like, okay, I get that. But then Barkov goes, what went through your mind?
Well, you know what's funny, isn't it? It's funny. Like you do. This is what's exciting for me about the draft. First thing you think for me is like, I never take anything for granted. So when I'm sitting on the floor, I'm thinking to myself, you know, it's way better sitting on the floor than when I've been up in the stands watching as either the minor league coach.
Yeah, these seats suck, Claude.
Yeah. You know, so I appreciate being on the floor, and that's something that I never take for granted. So I like that. But you know what's interesting is when you look, Nashville's picking, I believe, fifth. And I thought to myself, was it picking fourth?
Fourth.
So it's picking fourth, and I know that organization. So I'm thinking, and I know Barry Trotz, him and I work together, and he's got somewhat of a small defense from a size stature, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, well, he's licking his chops over there. David Poile, it looks like he's bouncing on the stage. He's so happy. So, you know, I'm picking Seth Jones. So from that standpoint, I think that's really good. And, you know, and I start to get the highlighter and start marking and stuff. What's really interesting, and this to me is what's really interesting, when I look down our list, and you guys don't know our list, but you see how close our list is to where everyone's picking. It's pretty impressive when I look at our staff and where they've got people. And then that really changes in the second round. The second round, I like the second round because you're all over the place. Guys are all over the place. It's like, what page is he on? Or he's what? 78? And then the first thing you think of is you're asking somebody, did we miss something? And they're asking each other, what, did we miss something? You know, so I like the banter back and forth, and that's when it really starts to heat up. But
can we ask you a question about the list, and then Brownie will just take the headset off after we ask it? You can walk away?
Well, yeah, you can go ahead.
I'm trying to keep him here if possible, Gary.
You're trying to stir Brownie up here.
No, not at all.
Hey, Coach, big trade. The New Jersey Devils hosting traded their ninth pick to Vancouver for Corey Schneider. We knew what was going on with the Canucks, but maybe just a few words on Corey Schneider and what he'll bring to the New Jersey Devils.
You know what? I don't know the player that they took, first of all. That's one of the key areas, but I know we like the player that they took.
Bo Horvat? You had him on your list?
We liked him. The big power guy. I talked to our guys. Would he have been there at 13? Yeah, it's a toss-up. But, you know, they picked him, so a good player they picked him. But you know what? Judging from what they said about the player and the move that they made, I have to think it's a good move by both people, you know. And the way the situation goes with the Vancouver and the goaltending situation, that had to break somewhere here, somewhere, sometime. I don't mean at the draft, but somewhere, sometime, because otherwise you're going to be spinning your wheels a little bit. You know, Corey Schneider is a great goalie, and you know, Martin Brodeur obviously is a good goalie. They'll get a chance to get the mentorship going for a year at least. Who knows much past that, but that's a great situation for both.
Are you spending a lot of time now looking at your new division?
No, not yet, but trust me, we're getting there. Right now I'm getting myself prepared more for coaches' meetings in the middle of July, which is a little bit different. Usually we have them in August, and it's funny. Coaches' meetings last probably 3 or 4 days, 4 days probably around there. They won't be, you know, and they involve all the coaches, including St. John. But the interesting thing for me is that the reason that I took them out of August and moved them up into July, and I talked to a couple other coaches, and in August, it's funny, you have to try to find your time where you got downtime, and what happens is that it's hard to restart again in August because you've taken a couple of weeks and you're down, and all of a sudden it takes you 2 days to get started again, and then you're into your third day of meetings, and your head's not wrapped around forechecks and D-zone coverage and clips and what are we doing, you know. So I think it was a better managed situation for us, because this is another thing that because of the way the year has gone, it's been such a wild year. We had nothing till January, and then all of a sudden it's warp speed, and it seems like it's just continued here, and it's going to continue through the third week of July. So I got to find some space in here where I can decompress, and so I'm going to find my 3 week period where I can decompress, and then last week of August we start up the machine again and get going, and then it's on again. So these are things that are important, that are important, and that we need to get the juices flowing again. And I'm telling you, you fellas, when I come out of the decompression and I start up again in the third week of the third week of August again, I'm already really excited about the season. And we don't know yet what that is, and I'm sure that people in Winnipeg are wondering, you know, well, where are these holes and how are they going to get filled through time, and how they get filled eventually. You fill the spots and you get going. I really like our team. I like it a lot. I like a lot of the elements we have. I like the youth of it. And I'm really excited about getting going for this year and getting going and taking another step.
I know you got to get rolling. And you mentioned decompressing. How will you be decompressing this summer? What do you got planned?
Well, I talked about the temple. The temple's been fed, you know.
Temple's looking great, by the way.
Oh, thanks. you know what? Like, when I get back to Winnipeg, I'm going to go fish, I hope, a day or two or whatever. I might even take some time after that July 5th free agency period, depending how long that goes there, because I've got from the, whatever, it might be the 8th to the 14th in there. I might go down and fish in one of my rivers down in Wisconsin, so that'll help me out until I finish on the 19th, and then I'm heading to out of town, out of town for about 3 weeks or so, and because one of the things that I've got to do, and I was talking to other coaches, what you got to do is I got to be able to get away so I can turn it off. It doesn't turn off, but it does settle down, because it's hard A lot of passion in Winnipeg. We all love the hockey, and so do I. It's hard to turn it off, you know. Well, so I'll be doing that.
Lots still to come today. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time to join us here on TSN 1290, and best of luck to you and the organization.
Hey, guys,
and the rest
always a pleasure talking with you guys. Hey, continue up with the passion.
Thanks so much. Guys. That's the Winnipeg Jets coach, Claude Noel.